Well, I don't really know what to say. Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies after a two-game winning streak. My name is Peter Edmiston, and I'm as stunned as you are. I don't know where this has come from, why it has happened. We'll talk about it, but it is frankly bizarre, to say the least. What an incredible night for Marshawn Brooks. We'll talk about his story coming up in just a bit. Thank you guys for downloading the podcast, and thank you for listening in to what is becoming a very weird end to this season, and a lot to talk about. So we'll do that here for the next few minutes. Grizzlies somehow avoid losing and win their second straight game. This time they beat the Blazers, another playoff team, 108-103, and the Blazers did not have Damian Lillard. They were coming in off the second night of a back-to-back, and of course they did so without Lillard, who had scored 41 the night before in New Orleans, but he flew back to Portland to be present for the birth of his child. I think, you know, controversially, if you're an idiot, choosing to be with the his child's mother and to be with his at the birth of his baby, as opposed to being at a regular season basketball game. Anybody who would criticize Damian Lillard for that is a complete idiot, and I have no time for that discussion. So congratulations to him on the impending birth of his baby, but it certainly did not help the Grizzlies. The timing could not have been worse in that regard, because the Grizzlies are now screwing around in winning ball games. Now, here's the thing, like just like the game in Minnesota, see, what we're going to talk about, what this whole thing means, but let's just be honest. Some of this is out of the Grizzlies' hands. You know, the Blazers and the Wolves each have to look at themselves in the mirror and wonder why they couldn't beat a Grizzly team that was, particularly tonight, set up to fail. You know, why they couldn't beat a team that played Kobe Simmons and Marshawn Brooks in the backcourt all 12 minutes of the fourth quarter. It's an undrafted player who is a marginal NBA talent and a guy who was just signed from China, and that backcourt outscored the Blazers backcourt, CJ McCollum, and the team outscored the Blazers by 10 in that fourth quarter to get the victory. The Blazers have to look at themselves in the mirror and figure out why that happened. Same thing with the Timberwolves somehow losing on Monday to the Grizzlies, who did play more conventional lineups in that game and seemed to be more dialed in, including playing Marc Gasol in the fourth quarter, which did not happen in the game on Wednesday against the Blazers. Because I'll be honest, while they certainly don't need to be winning these games, I don't think there was a whole lot more they could do to intentionally lose them. I mean, they didn't roll out lineups that were ball-busting, incredible lineups or anything of that nature. As I mentioned, they put a lineup out there that was really designed to lose. They've been playing guys out of position, and they are sneaking up and winning these games. Now, it's not ideal. And I do think, you know, if you're asking me, could they have done a little bit more? Well, they could have played Ben McLemore. They could have done that. Ben McLemore is the human tank commander. He's the guy that you put in there to make sure that you lose games. He did not play, and that was a real issue for the Grizzlies. You know, probably putting Marc Gasol back in the game actually would have hurt the Grizzlies in the ballgame tonight because of the way that they played and the looseness with which that young group played. So before we talk about the implications of the game and where things stand right about now, let's give it up for Marshawn Brooks. I mean, what a story. What an absolutely incredible night for him. And, you know, for a guy who was drafted the first round, who kind of flamed out after a couple of years in the league, ends up going over to China, scoring 36 a game in the Chinese league, which is not a high-quality league. But, you know, there are some players in that league you would recognize. He obviously showed over there he had to make a lot of shots because he took a lot of shots and a lot of contested shots. He was getting double-teamed a lot. He was certainly the best player on the court and the best player in that league, so he was going to get a lot of attention. the level is clearly much lower there than it is here, but at least he showed that. And now, having gone through that season, he comes over here, is signed by the Grizzlies, comes in, and immediately scores 21 points, 5 of 5 from 3, scores 21 points in 20 minutes, and including 17 points in 13 minutes of the second half. The dude was incredible, and it was not something that any of us could have seen coming. I mean, you know, you talk about the guy that can get buckets, and I figured he'd hit a few, and he certainly looked confident out there early on, but he just kept cooking, and he got a lot of ISO shots. He got a lot of buckets that is just a guy, you know, getting his shot off. And it occurred to me watching that it's just something that the Grizzlies don't have. They just haven't had that. You know, somebody can go ahead and get those shots. They've had guys score, you know, in high quantities off the bench in the past, similar to that 20 points in 20 minutes, basically point a minute off the bench. You know, that's kind of Jamal Crawford-ish in that neighborhood. Well, guys have done that, but typically it's just pure, you know, shooters, not so much scorers. Guys that need help getting their shot, like Troy Daniels has done it twice for the Grizzlies. Chandler Parsons did it once earlier this year off the bench, very early on against the Rockets. You know, it has happened, but it's typically guys that need a little bit of help. Marshawn Brooks didn't need help. He's the one who's getting those buckets by himself. He's out there generating that offense and, you know, going ISO, hitting his spots, making stuff happen. It occurred to me the Grizzlies don't really have that guy as a pure scorer. He's already played one game for the team. He's on a 10-day contract. He's already the third best scorer on the team behind Mike Conley and Tyreek Evans. In terms of pure scoring ability and able to do it himself, he's the third best guy already, and he's on a 10-day. Here's the other thing. Think about this. I mentioned Ben McLemore earlier on. He's already better than Ben McLemore. He makes 1.5% of what Ben McLemore makes. He makes $83,000 is what he's going to end up making on this 10-day. Ben McLemore makes about just under $5.5 million. He makes 1.5% of what Ben McLemore makes and has stepped in and been with the team for about 48 hours, give or take. And he's already better. He's already eclipsed Ben McLemore. If you could figure out a way, I think right now, sign on the dotted line, you'd rather have Marshawn Brooks on this team than Ben McLemore. Yeah, it's a very small sample size. Yeah, whatever. He's already done more. Show me the game where Ben McLemore looked anything close to what Marshawn Brooks did. McLemore scored 21 once. He hit 5 threes in a game. Actually, hit 6 threes in a game once. For the Grizzlies, that's it. He's drifted through so many games as a shooting guard, a guy that's supposed to score, a guy that's supposed to get buckets, a guy that's supposed to do all those things, and he's drifted through and been terrible. When did he grab a game like Marshawn Brooks did? So, you know, on the one hand, you won and you've kind of screwed up your position a little bit. On the other hand, maybe you found something that's interesting. Maybe you found a guy that can play a role for you that you really don't have. Yeah, it's extremely early on, but I mean, after a night like that, well, I don't know, why not dream big? Why not think big? Why not think about what you could do with him long term? See if you could sign him to a decent multi-year deal without too much guaranteed money. Maybe something, you know, could be worked out. But it was there. The guy had a pedigree. The guy was a first round pick, and looked in college like he could be capable of stuff like this on a regular basis. Let's see what he does. And I'll say this afterwards. I spoke to him for a while in the locker room, and a very even keel guy, very relaxed, wasn't too jacked up about what happened, was very low key, understood kind of the long term of this whole thing, that, you know, he's done it once, but he's got to do it again. He did it without, you know, anyone really preparing for him. Now, teams are at least going to be more aware that he's on the court. And certainly next year, if he's able to stick around, teams will have even more of a scouting report on him. So it's only going to get harder from here. So he kept things in perspective, but you know, he talked about what he'd learned in China and how he would probably change a few things about his NBA career from the beginning, and about how tough that process is when you're away from your family and you're overseas and you're fighting for your professional career. He came across as extremely mature, a guy that just really gets it. And part of that is because he's older than a lot of those guys in that locker room. It's a very young locker room, apart from the likes of Chandler Parsons and Marc Gasol. Most of the guys are quite young. But he came across really mature and really well. And, you know, just like he's got a good, even a solid head on his shoulders, and you feel pretty confident that a guy like that, maybe he's turned a little bit of a page and maybe he's got a little something left to give. So I never thought I'd be even having anything remotely close to this kind of discussion after the game about Marshawn Brooks. But I mean, after you saw what you saw and you saw the things he could do, he's got good size at 6'5". There's a lot to like about him. So absolutely, I think he's a guy that can fill a role and has already, in my mind, eclipsed Ben McLemore. Would you rather right now have Ben McLemore next year or Marshawn Brooks? Yeah, you'd have to eat Ben McLemore's money, but is Ben McLemore going to sign it? Would he sign an NBA contract? If the Grizzlies were to cut him, let's say right now, would he sign an NBA deal anywhere? Would he sign a deal anywhere else? So, I mean, that's the question. Would anyone pick him up? Even at the minimum? I'm not so sure. I don't think he's proven what he can even do in the league, and he's had his second chance now with the Grizzlies and has not taken advantage of it. So I don't know. But it just kind of tells you what dire straits the Grizzlies are in that position. But it also tells you that it's a great opportunity for Marshawn Brooks, and he took as much advantage of it as he possibly could with game one. So we'll talk about the ramifications of the win here in just a moment as you listen to the Locked On Podcast Network. With the win, their second in a row, it's bizarre. But with that win, the Grizzlies now drop to third. They're in a tie at 21 wins with Atlanta. But they, I think, at least on the Tankathon site, Tankathon has them losing the tiebreaker. So, you know, that's because, you know, the Grizzlies almost, I don't know what the tiebreaker would be in that case. I mean, the Grizzlies almost lost both games to Atlanta. Certainly could have lost at home, but didn't quite get it done, and lost by a bunch in Atlanta to that Hawks team. But Tankathon has them third right now, behind Atlanta by fractions of a percentage or something, so I don't know if it's tiebreaker deal or what. But the Grizzlies are tied right now with Atlanta at 21 wins. Atlanta will play the Magic later on this weekend, which will be a big one in the tank battle, because the Magic are sitting right behind them, and it's extremely close. Phoenix is comfortably in front, 19-56 right now. Atlanta, Memphis with 21 wins. Orlando with 22. They lost again tonight. Dallas is losing as I record this, and will probably be done losing to the Lakers. It's late in that game. The Lakers are up 10 last I checked, so I imagine that's another loss for Dallas. Dallas then would be at 23 wins. Sacramento, Brooklyn, Chicago, all at 24 wins. So the Grizzlies, I mentioned earlier in the week, now you have to look at the games that are left on the schedule, and I wouldn't have thought that the Portland game was winnable, but they won it. So now you have to look at them going to Utah on Friday. Utah coming off of a heartbreaking loss to Boston, but they've been playing extremely well, much to play for. That would be hard to imagine the Grizzlies could win that one, but the Hawks did go into Utah not too long ago and win, so it is theoretically possible. The Grizzlies then go back to up against Portland again on Sunday at Portland. I would think the Grizzlies would lose that game. Damian Lillard should be back, and Portland, you know, much to play for, at home, all that stuff, you would think. So that's probably going to be a loss. The Grizzlies then play at New Orleans, another game that you would think would be a loss. But then the tricky part comes. Sacramento at home, Detroit at home, Minnesota on the road. In Minnesota on the road, you know, the Grizzlies have won 5 of 6 against Minnesota, 2-0 this year, already won earlier this week. So you certainly have to think that's a winnable one. And the two at home, certainly Sacramento and Detroit, very, very winnable. And in fact, you'd think the Grizzlies probably are favored at this point with the way that they've been playing of late. Those two games now get you to the 23 win mark, which right now would put you in fifth place, you know, based on what you're going to see. And yeah, I think if Orlando beats Atlanta, then that drops them to 23. So there's some maneuvering yet to be done, but you're going to be in that neighborhood around 5 or 6 if you win two more games. If you win three games, depending on what the rest of the league does, you could be, and I haven't looked at all of the teams playing each other to know for sure, but you would be in that mix with Sacramento, Brooklyn, and Chicago at 24 wins, which could drop you into the possibility of getting down in the 9th, 10th spot when the lottery happens. Like I said, some of this stuff is out of their hands. They put lineups out there tonight that should have been able to lose that game. It is frustrating to see a season worth of losses to put yourself in a position to have a good opportunity at the best possible draft pick. It is frustrating to watch that unravel. And I get the excitement. It was exciting to watch Marshawn Brooks. It was fun for the fans. I'm sure it was fun for the departing Jason Potter, who is leaving his position running the in-arena operations, has done a fabulous job. I'm sure it was fun for Jason, and I'm glad he got to go off on a win. So all that stuff is fun. That's true. You know, these things can be, multiple things can be true all at the same time. It can be fun to watch that win, but you can also realize that win is going to end up being costly. And my frustration really comes if the Grizzlies wanted to start playing like this, why didn't they do it earlier in the season? If these guys wanted to play harder and play better and play together, there were plenty of opportunities to do that months and months ago that would have allowed you to, you know, ease into a 26 to 28 win season if that's what you wanted to do. Win a few games, be a little more respectable, all that stuff. Not get blown out by 61 in Charlotte. Those options were there, but the Grizzlies chose not to take them for weeks and weeks and weeks. And now, at this point in the season, when the finish line is there and everyone is basically ready to go home, now the Grizzlies decide that this is the time that they want to start winning. That doesn't make a lot of sense. And, you know, like I said, you can't, it's hard to separate what's happening, you know, with the Grizzlies and also what their opponents are doing. You can't, I mean, if you have a team like Portland that just doesn't have its best player and looks tired and lethargic and you can't find a way to finish and beat a G leaguer and a Chinese league player who are playing for the entire fourth quarter. If you can't figure that out, then I mean, I guess, you know, you're not meant to lose that game, but it is still frustrating to see what is a plan that seemed to be going just fine and a team that was clearly tanking and trying to lose these games end up, perhaps by their own faults and perhaps by faults of their opponents, losing games that put them in bad position. Just a matter now of hoping that the damage isn't too bad and that you end up still in a decent enough position going forward. Because, you know, too many more wins start to really put you in an uncomfortable spot when it comes to that lottery. And the Grizzlies have not historically had a tremendous amount of lottery luck going back to when they had a coin flip essentially to either get LeBron James or nothing. And the Grizzlies ended up getting nothing when they dropped to the fourth spot in the Oden and Durant draft to end up with Mike Conley. Not a bad consolation prize, but certainly not Kevin Durant. So, and even when the Grizzlies drafted second, I think you all know what happens. Grizzlies have not had a tremendous amount of luck in these situations, and it doesn't appear that there's going to be much more luck. Now, You hope maybe things work out. If you remember last year, the Lakers late in the season won 5 straight when they were really trying to tank. And they were a team that if they didn't finish in the top three, they would have lost their pick to the Phoenix Suns. And they finished and they ended up getting the 2nd pick in the lottery in spite of that 5-game winning streak that hurt them in terms of their percentage. So, yeah, maybe you hope that the gods are with you. Maybe you hope that you do the right thing and you'll be rewarded with the luck of the ping pong balls. I don't know. I just know that logically it doesn't make a great deal of sense to see what's happened, even if you have to give Marshawn Brooks and the Grizzlies, Chandler Parsons was really good off the bench. You have to give those guys credit for their performance and tip your cap and say, well done. And, enjoy in the arena and enjoy in the arena, the fans having fun with the win. But you just have to know there's strings attached to that, that whole thing. And those strings are pretty obvious. And they could potentially keep you from getting the very best players in this draft. Now, here's the other thing we'll talk about as the draft gets ever closer. This is a draft that's a lot of discrepancy and a lot of disagreement, and a lot of folks think you'll be able to find a guy at 5 or 6 who's equivalent to the guy that you would take at number 1. I don't know how the board is going to shake out, but that is possible as well. A real quick email that comes in before we have to say goodbye. This comes from Zach. Zach says, get ready, my dude, because I have a lot to say. First of all, I would like to take a second to appreciate this wonderful front office that we have running our favorite NBA franchise. Clearly, they just found the next great Memphis Grizzly, Marshawn Brooks, and they didn't even have to draft him. Forgot about tanking. Now that we've won 2 games in a row against playoff teams and have found a legitimate superstar to play along Conley, Gasol, and the greatest of them all, Chandler Parsons, I would say anything short of 3 straight championships would be a disappointment. At this point, the draft is useless for us, since whoever we would draft would just get lost behind the immense amount of talent that we have built through second-round picks and undrafted players. So now I'll pose a question to you and any Grizz fans that might hear this. How many championships will the Grizzlies win by the time the Marshawn Brooks and Wayne Selden era is over? Stop trying to figure which spot we'll be picking at this year and instead think of how you plan on celebrating all the future championships that will be coming soon. That's from Zach, who ends it parenthetically, saying, obviously not serious. And I thought you were serious. And now I'm bummed out that you say you weren't. Zach, I think they're going to win 10 championships at least, maybe more, by the time this era is over. And you're right. An army of second rounders and 10-day contract guys and guys from China and undrafted guys, that is how the Grizzlies will take down the entire NBA. If you want to send me an email, as Zach did, you can do that at pedmiston@gmail.com. That's pedmiston, E-D-M-I-S-T-O-N, @gmail.com. Or shoot me a tweet. Love to hear from all of you guys at Peter Edmiston. Thank you for listening to Locked On Grizzlies and the Locked On Podcast Network. Have yourself a fabulous day, and do your best to not think about the negatives, not think about all the lost draft position, but think about Marshawn Brooks, I guess. If that'll make you feel better, hey, there you go.